Welcome, everyone. Today is Freedom Sunday, and we've been praying and preparing for this for about a month now. I've been talking about it and announcing it and sharing some things through emails, and I know many of you have been tracking along the way and preparing for it. And basically, it's I called it Freedom Sunday because I believe God was leading me to share this Sunday with you, to host this, to have it in a way that allows for God's freedom to come into our lives in a fresh way. I was reminded of this, as I shared a couple of weeks ago, when I went to Equip, and a little conference down in Swift Current, and was just reminded, kind of caught off guard, when there was an invitation to stand up and ask, you know, the question was asked, and we'll do that again as well here today, what do you want Jesus to do for you? And I stood up in response, and I had hurt. I had hurts. And so I was prayed for, and God really brought healing to some of those hurts in my life, emotional hurts. And, you know, I've heard about healing, and I've been a part of healing, and I've prayed for healing, and I've seen people healed physically through the years, and that we will do that today. That is part of it. But I think it's so much bigger than that. And that's why we call it Freedom Sunday and not just like a special church service for healing. Healing is included, but really, even as we touched on a little bit last week, there's so much more. There's eternal life that we end up getting to walk in with Jesus. So that's why I called it Freedom Sunday, because it's bigger than just a healing service, though we'll do that towards the end. So I'll just give you a heads up of as to the format. What we're going to do, it's going to be a little different today, and you're like, Pastor, you say that every week. No. So today what we're going to do is, I have a few different thoughts to share, and I feel like it's almost like building a pyramid of freedom, and you can access it at any level, but what we're going to do is I'll share a couple of thoughts that I feel are really foundational and fundamental to freedom in Christ, and then we'll have a little I don't want to call it a break, a response time. It'll be a time for you to respond to that. Because I don't want to force you into anything, and I don't want to rush through it, and I don't want to just talk for 30 minutes and have 2 minutes at the end to wrap it up. What I'm going to do is share a few thoughts. We'll have a response time for a few minutes, and then share a few more thoughts, and then have another response time, and then I have a third section. So it's almost like the sermon in three parts with response time after each section. I can't promise anything, but I do know that God wants to do something. And I do know that God still works today. He is alive and active. And we tend to talk about what Jesus did and what Jesus said, and we can sometimes forget that Jesus is alive and he is still saying and doing things now. And that he wants to do things in our lives. And that he loves us and wants to bring healing and freedom in some of these areas. And so part of what's going to be involved today is listening. Not just to me, but for you to be in tuned and listening to the Holy Spirit. Part of it is with those worship folders. We always have, there's some lines on the back. So if you don't have one and you want to, there's some note paper sometimes in the pews, but this might be a handy resource for you today as you listen and have a pen handy or a pencil and be able to write down things that God might be saying to you. Now, how does God speak? Well, I would say very rarely does God use an audible voice. Maybe you'll hear one today. I don't know. I have never heard an audible voice from God. Oftentimes, it's through impressions. It'll be a thought or an idea, something as I ask God a question, or or talk with him, there'll be a thought that comes to mind. So for example, if when we get to a time of confession and repentance or forgiveness, there might be a prayer where you say, God, show me if there's somebody that I need to forgive. And you pray that prayer, and then you kind of sit quietly. Like I said, there'll be some music on quietly, and you listen. You just ask and then listen. God, is there somebody that I need to forgive? And then if a name comes to your head, maybe there's nothing, then write it down. Or maybe you need to ask forgiveness from somebody. And that will be how it is. And you need to listen. And I would say it's not a coincidence if you're sitting prepared, asking God to speak to you, and then somebody comes into your mind. Like, that's not a coincidence, okay? I'm not saying every thought we have is from God, but in this situation, we've come to church, we're prepared to listen, we're listening to the Word of God, and we're going to be engaged in prayerfully listening, and we're expecting God to do something, to say something to us, to lead us in this way. So this is kind of what we're going to be engaging in, and I'll try to coach us through this a bit. But even for me, I got to tell you, I'm listening. I will be listening to the Spirit and trying to discern more specifics as we go along throughout the service. And so that's where it's a little bit different today, that there's a kind of there'll be response times for you to actively engage and listen and respond and pursue what God has for you. Okay? The first scripture that came to mind when I was thinking about this day was the scripture, it was from Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 21. Now, when Jesus began his ministry here on earth, and in Luke's account as well, he goes out into the desert and he's tempted. And he's fasting and praying and he's tempted by the devil, and he overcomes that. And after that testing, at the very beginning, he comes back and he is preaching and he's reading and he's teaching and reading the scriptures and teaching in synagogues. That was where the Jews would gather in their communities around the countryside and worship the Lord on their Sabbath. And so Jesus was in the local synagogue and they were giving him the scroll. It was his turn to read. They asked him to read the scriptures. And so he says, you know, get me the scroll of Isaiah and I will read. And so this is where we are in Luke chapter 4, verses 16. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. So this is his hometown. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. And this is Jesus' inauguration speech. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus, and then he goes on to say, then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of everybody in the synagogue were fastened on him, were attentive, were watching. And he began, is there one more? Okay, yeah. And then on 21, it said, Jesus said that today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And they're like, what? Wait a minute. What did you just say? And Jesus was declaring that the Spirit of God was upon him. Now, we have the theology of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. So they're one. But he's saying the words of the prophet are being fulfilled. That I have come to bring good news to the poor, proclaim release or freedom for the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is what Jesus was like. I'm here to do these things. Freedom, healing, wholeness, good news. That's what he came to do. And so we walk in this tradition. This is what Jesus came to do when he was physically present on earth. And then when Jesus was had been crucified and was resurrected, he stayed around for a little while before he ascended to heaven. And then he said, stay in Jerusalem. He told them to stay in Jerusalem until they were anointed with power from on high. And that's what we celebrate today, is the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came came upon the believers to empower them to fulfill the mission that God had for them, to be salt and light to the nations, to go and make disciples of all people, all over the world. And as they went, they did miracles. Their ministry was accompanied by signs and wonders. And so, this is just, I'm sort of just connecting the dots as Jesus said he was called to do this, and then the disciples who followed Jesus did this, and then we also are disciples of Jesus, and we are called to do this as well, to believe by faith that Jesus is the Lord still, that he still has power and still works. But the interesting thing is, and this is where I want to lay the foundation, is that even when Peter, after the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, they began preaching. And the miracle that day was that everybody who heard them in their own native language. And so there was crowds of people that had been gathered, and when Peter spoke, everybody heard their own language. And part of what happens is people realize, God speaks my language. And that's true for us too. God speaks your language. Whatever that is, God speaks your language. He knows you. He wants to connect with you. And the power of God went out that day among the crowd, and thousands came and gathered and came to faith in Jesus. And what happened was Peter told the story of Jesus and his crucifixion and his resurrection. And it says that people were cut to the heart. When they heard what had happened and who Jesus really was and what had really happened, it says they were cut to the heart, which just means they were convicted. And they were so convicted that they said, what should we do? What do we need to do, Peter? We believe what you just told us, but now what? So the very first thing Peter says is, repent and be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. Now, some of you haven't been baptized, and we can talk about that another time, and that would be great. Too bad we didn't have it full and ready, and we could just do it right now. But the first thing Peter talks about is repentance. And that's what I believe is really the foundation for freedom. If we want to be free in Christ and walk in the freedom that God has made a way for us to have, we need to walk in confession and repentance. And so that's our first step today, is to walk in confession and repentance. And so in just a moment, we'll have some music playing and you can have a time of confession and repentance with the Lord, to be praying and asking God, what do I need to confess? Lord, are there any sins in my life that you want to deal with today? Are there any doors that I've kept closed, any closets that I've kept skeletons in that you want to bring out, that you want to cleanse me of and heal me from? In John 8:34, it says, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Going on to 35. Now, if a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. And verse 36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Jesus is the Son of God. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. This is part of the freedom that Jesus came to bring. Because if we are still in sin, we are slaves to sin. And the people who act and do whatever they want, and they think that it's freedom, but oftentimes they have no clue that sin has actually got a hold of them. But even for us, even for the believer, we need to be mindful. There's little things, and we're called to keep short accounts of the sin in our lives. Sometimes it's big things. Sometimes it's little things, like attitudes, or gossip, or unforgiveness, or things like that. So, it might be bitterness. Maybe somebody's hurt you and you're carrying around bitterness. Maybe there's unforgiveness, again, from somebody who's hurt you. But we know that the Lord has said, you need to forgive. And maybe that's something you'll need today. So, I'm going to pause there. That's where I want to... we can put the music on quietly here. I'm going to give you a few minutes to do this, to... spend a little bit of time doing business with Jesus, asking those questions. You can do it silently in your mind, but respond. I want to continue to sort of go to build on the next level. What happens after that base is laid, the foundation of repentance and forgiveness is laid, we have the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. The believer, the one who is the follower of Jesus, has the Holy Spirit within. And that Spirit has the power to transform. And the word for that often used in the New Testament is metamorphosis. It's transformation. It's not like some behavior management. This isn't filters for our language. This metamorphosis is the caterpillar into the butterfly. That's the type of transformation that God can and will do within us, within our spirit, because of His Spirit. Now, in John 8, John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, Jesus said, it says, to the Jews who had believed in Him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, this gets quoted often in movies, and people, just about everybody would know the quote, well, the truth will set you free. And they don't understand that they're quoting Jesus most of the time. But it is true, and it is in the Bible, and we do want to be reminded of that, that if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. So there is something that where Jesus is saying, you can tell who the people who are mine are, the sheep of my flock, those who are Christians, those who are believers, who put their faith in me or called me Lord, my disciples, they'll hold to my teaching. And the words, then as they hold to the teaching, they will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So there's an application of truth as well. That, and you all know this, right? You can know things that are true, but it's the application of the truth that will set you free. And I've made jokes about this before with like, oh, I know what foods I should be eating and should not be eating. I know the truth. But if I'm not living that truth, then I will still be in bondage to my sweet tooth. And while that might seem a little frivolous, maybe it's not. It's a real thing. And it's just a great example of like, well, I know what I need to do, but I have a hard time walking in it. And that is sort of our next section of saying like, this is just real and honest, friends. Like, there are things that we're called to walk in and do as Christians that are just hard. And we need the Spirit of God to enable us and empower us and show us how to walk in these things, to walk in the truth. So And really, the truth is that sometimes we get stuck. We get stuck. We get stuck in our relationships. We get stuck emotionally. We get stuck in our grief. We get stuck in addiction. There are things that that just cause us to get stuck. And I'm not here to put guilt and shame on. I'm here to say Jesus wants to help you get unstuck. That's another level of freedom. Sometimes it's not even because you did anything intentional. You just find yourself stuck. What came to mind is I had a friend who used to be a potato chip delivery guy. And he had a route up in Slave Lake. And he would go up and be up there for the week and delivering chips and whatnot. And then he'd come back to Edmonton for the weekends with his family. But one time on the way home, driving back from Slave Lake, the GPS, the infamous GPS, right? He thought, I thought I could save some time. And so he turned off, and the GPS seemed to show it as a road, and it started out as a bit of a gravel road, but then it got to one of those trails that's like, technically there's tire marks with grass growing on either side and in between, and then it got even narrower to like less than that, and less than that, and then he actually couldn't even turn around because it was so narrow, and he kept thinking, well, surely there'll be another place, it'll come out the other end, right? The GPS wouldn't steer me wrong. No, he got stuck, and then a series of unfortunate circumstances, cell phone battery basically on nothing, was able to make a quick call to his wife before it died. He went thought he could hear the highway on the other side and grabbed his stuff and started to kind of wander toward the highway, found himself getting deeper and deeper, actually now took his socks and shoes off because he was in a swampy area, coming up to his shins, and he's like, oh my goodness, what have I done? Like, I know better. I know better. I know that you should stay put. I should have stayed with the van. I know the right things to do. I know when you get lost in the woods, you stay put. That's like rule number one, and he knew that. But he thought he heard the cars, and it just was inch by inch drawing. I think I can get out of this myself. I think if it's just over here, I have a good sense of direction. I'm almost there. It's just over here. I'm sure of it. And he said by the end, he found a little bit of high ground. He had no clue where he was. He had to empty out his shaving kit, and he put it on his head because he was getting cold at night. He dried off a little bit I think he had an extra t-shirt, his feet, and then he put his feet into a bag, his backpack, to try to keep his feet warm, and basically put the extra t-shirt over him and curled up on a little bit of a high ground in the middle of the swamp and literally began, making peace with God. He's like, I will not see my family again. He was, basically saying goodbye and prepared to be done. Thankfully, his wife understood a little bit of the situation and just was very worried, knew he should have been home, knew it wasn't happening, had that phone call. She called her dad, who used to be in the RCMP, and they figured some things out, and they got out a search and rescue the next morning, first thing. And the helicopter was out, dogs were out, and dogs couldn't find him because the scent was lost in the water. But they eventually did find him. He had made the help sign and done all that. Like, he was really, like, resigned to death. But in the end, somebody came and rescued him. And sometimes that just happens to us. And we say, oh, I'm so stupid. Why did I do that? And God's not saying that. He's not here to put shame or guilt. He just said, I'm the search party. And today is the day. Will you receive it? Will you receive the freedom? Sometimes we're blind. Sometimes we're help. We need help. Sometimes we're deceived. Sometimes we're wounded. And this is what I want to spend time in there now. As I give you a few moments, maybe you need emotional healing. Maybe there's relationships that need healing. Maybe there's addiction. Maybe there's grief. Maybe there's something else that's come up when I said stuck. Now, our last section, I want to talk about physical healing. We've talked about this before, and there are different things that you might need or be hopeful for, but I just wanted to share this story again from Mark chapter 10. Starting at verse 46 there. Then they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me!" Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me!" Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." I wonder if these are the same people who were just telling him to shut up. Keep it down. Jesus calls him. Call him here. Hey, cheer up, good news. Jesus is nicer than I am. He's calling you to come. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Here's the question. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." Isn't that something? You didn't even make any mud to spread on his eyes. He didn't, like, "You're healed." There was nothing like that. He didn't pull out anointing oil. He didn't do anything else. Just go. "You're healed. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Who wouldn't be following Jesus if you just received your sight? Now, especially when you read in John, there's a lot about sight and vision, but this one's in Mark, but there's always something symbolic about receiving your sight, about the blind that will see. And even in Jesus' inauguration speech, it's outlined even there that the blind would see. And there's something symbolic about that, that there's times when we don't see. And we need to see, and Jesus brings that. But there's also Jesus physically healed people who could not see and brought them vision. I think this is part of why I put this in our last category, because I think if you are not a disciple of Jesus, if you have not put your faith in him and don't believe in who he is, and if you haven't received forgiveness and confessed sins, and if you don't believe in any of that, then you're not going to be able to have faith to get to the next levels, right? Because if you believe Jesus is Lord and he is who he says he is, then the first thing really is to confess and receive that forgiveness of our sins. And with that, we receive new life. We receive the Spirit of God. We are born again. Now, Jesus didn't say everybody has to be born again to get healed. Sometimes he heals people before they're born again. And sometimes that's how people realize and they experience the healing and the power of God, and they say, "This God is no joke." God's power showed up and did something that was not happening in any other way. And that's amazing too. But the way I wanted to just present it today was that I believe there's, generally speaking, a bit of a foundation to be laid with forgiveness and repentance and confession. And then dealing with emotional and relational hurts and other things like that, which we've now done. The other thing that happens is sometimes healing, physical healing, will happen because you've dealt with those things. There are a number of stories in the Bible when somebody comes to Jesus for healing and he says, your sins are forgiven. So, well, that's fine. I wasn't asking for that. I want you to, like, heal my leg. Your sins are forgiven. Can you just, oh, but you know what? So that you know that Jesus has the power to forgive sins, he heals. He also heals. And so sometimes when we experience the forgiveness of sins and the renewal of the Spirit of God within us, we experience the healing that comes from in our emotions, in our relationships, in our addictions, and in our grief, and in our hurts. Sometimes literally physical things will change in our bodies because we experience healing and freedom in those other areas. So I felt like let's lay that foundation. Maybe you've already been healed physically in a way that you didn't even realize because of something that needed to be forgiven or some bitterness that you let go of. But maybe not. And so that's why we have this time. And in James chapter 5, 13 says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Isn't that interesting? Even there, they tie those two things together. If you're sick, pray for healing and anoint with oil, and the Lord will raise them up. And sins, therefore, where is it? Verse 15, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. And if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. See how closely intertwined this is? And then verse 16 goes on to say, therefore, confess your sins. If you want healing, you want physical healing, come to the elders, come to the church, let's pray and anoint you and pray for healing. God will raise you up. And therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. He didn't say forgiven. Isn't that interesting? Earlier he says forgiven. Here he says, confess your sins and pray for each other that you may be healed. And so we have done some of that, right? We've already, you didn't know this was it, but I did. And so we've laid that foundation already. We've already done some of the confession. Now, maybe after service, you're going to need to go and ask forgiveness for somebody, and that's fine. And you do that if the Lord's led you to do that, you take action. But for here and now, we've done that, and we want to pray that you would be healed. And so, I'm going to ask if anybody would like physical healing, that you would come to the front here and sit in the front pews. And I have oil that we would use to anoint you. And what I do is I just dip a little bit onto my finger and I just put it on your forehead. I just make a little cross. And it's symbolic. As the Bible has instructed, and by faith we want to do what the Word of God has said. And so by faith, if you come forward and ask for healing, that's the gesture of faith. Now, I don't know what God's going to do, but I am here to join with you in asking, what do you want Jesus to do for you? And asking him to do it. It's not me. It's not my words. It's no magical formula. There's no spell that we cast. There's nothing like that. It is the power of God that when God decides to show up and God decides to move in power, praise the Lord. What a gift. What a treat. And he can and does and will still do that today. So I'm giving you an opportunity to come. I want to just remind you that what God has done in your life today is real, and that you can walk in the Spirit
and continue to listen and pay attention to what the Lord is saying and how he's leading you. And you'll be able to walk in the freedom that God has made possible today.